and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to say, and I'm not saying this just for advertising purposes at all, but our Bible study has been a strong Bible study, I think, the last several weeks. And I would say that because I'm teaching it. I'm saying it because of the questions that are being asked and the discussions that have been raised on our Wednesday evening Bible study as we go through the book of Genesis. So I encourage people to attend. You can attend in person. It's preferred, but we also have the virtual option, and several people have been joining that way as well. But one of the discussions that we had this past week is about how often Scripture can be cynical or pessimistic. And we saw that perhaps most clearly in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 6, where God regrets creating humanity because the intentions of their heart are always towards evil. And so we see often in the Bible this negative view of humanity. And one of the things that we've discussed is in the book of Genesis we see all of the themes that come throughout the rest of Scripture. And so this is something that runs throughout Scripture. It's a theme that runs throughout the Bible, is this pessimism, this cynicism about humanity. But fortunately for us, it doesn't end there. That's not the end of the story. We talked about in the Bible study as well the prayer that we have at the bowing of the heads at the Vesper service, where we talk about the fearful judge. We talk about God as the fearful judge, and then we add to that, who yet loves mankind. And so, just as the Bible is cynical towards us human beings, towards our intentions, towards the way that we behave, and how we are inclined to sin against God and against one another, so equally does the Bible offer something more positive, more optimistic. And that is the fact that God, even though He is the judge, He loves us. He cares for us. And He offers us deliverance. And so we can never end as Christians on this pessimistic note, this cynical note that the Bible has, but rather it encourages us, it frees us not to rely on ourselves, but it frees us to rely upon the goodness of God. It frees us in this world when we see so many bad things happening. It frees us to have hope that something better will come when our Lord returns to judge the living and the dead. And we see this theme in Paul's epistle, the second epistle to the Corinthians, from which we read today. We see constantly this cynicism, this pessimism, this negativity, but how ultimately God delivers an optimistic message. He says, "Let light shine out of darkness." That's a good way that we could summarize Scripture. Let light shine out of darkness, he says. And then Paul, talking about himself and his fellow apostles and Christians, says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Struck down, but not destroyed." No matter what is happening to us in this world, we have hope that God can overcome. Paul continues and he says that they are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. But again, that's not the end of it. It's not death for death's sake, but so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. And that's ultimately what happens to us, brothers and sisters, in the sacrament of baptism. We are baptized into His death, into Christ's death, so that we may walk in newness of life, as Paul says in Romans. And we have that reading at the baptism service. And he says, "For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." This is an important lesson for us, brothers and sisters, because we see in our society and many times throughout history, not just today, but most importantly for us today, because it's when we're living and we can change things. We see so many times Christians being negative, being pessimistic, being cynical. How many times do we see on TV and on social media, and do we even talk amongst ourselves about the evils of society? We have this pessimism that runs through us. But we must always temper that, brothers and sisters, with hope, with the optimism that is given to us through God and His deliverance of us, that is given to us through the gospel, that we may have a different way and that we may show a different way. You see, so many people are turned off today by our message because it is a message that is only giving half of the story. It gives the cynicism. It gives the negativity that we hear about humanity throughout Scripture. But we so often neglect the fact that we have a better way, that God provides us with hope, that He provides us with change, He provides us with the opportunity to repent and to do better. And so it's important, brothers and sisters, as we live our lives and as we talk to our friends, our family, our co-workers, that we are presenting the fullness of the Scriptures. Because that is ultimately the essence of the Christian message. It is the truth, and it's what changes the hearts of human beings. We don't change the hearts of people by condemnation. We don't change the hearts of people by being negative. We change the hearts of people by offering them the hope that is found in the Holy Scriptures and in the gospel message and in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must offer the same hope that Paul gives us here towards the end of today's reading. Since we have the same spirit of faith as he had, who wrote, "I believe, and so I spoke," we too believe, and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. May we bring God's presence, the fullness of his presence, to our brothers and sisters here on this earth. And may we be reunited in his heavenly kingdom when he comes to judge the living and the dead. To him be all glory, honor, and worship together with his Father and Holy Spirit unto the ages of ages. Amen.